But we've been trying our best to get Mariette Leibscher from Stellenbosch here. She works alongside with Sias. She's a bit of an introvert and she's a bit scam, so asseblief, moenie te hard wees op haar nie. But she's really amazing. I think you've got friendships in life, and then you've really have divine friendships where you like somebody, but God likes the fact that you like that person. And our family, we have that with her. It's that we're great buddies, but there's a kingdom, there's really something kingdom in that. I'm not always sure what it is, but stuff just happens when we get together, when we fellowship. And likewise, I believe it should be like that with all of us. But we have that with her, and it's really a privilege. But it is like jy het, welkom, jy kan gerus kom gesels. She'll be sharing the word today with us, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So let's give her a hand.
Good morning, you awesome people. I have to focus now because there's so much I want to say. That's not even the word, that's just the start. As you said, I'm an introvert. That was a little joke between me, him, and a few other people here. Let me start by saying, amen to what he said. Now, the first time the Lord sent me to connect with Edna and Retief, and I know the Lord sent me, because at that stage, I didn't know that they were starting to serve at Shofar in Malmesbury. I thought they recently became members there, and I just felt on my heart, yo, the next time I go to Malmesbury, I'd love to go and connect with them. And on this particular day, about 2 years or something ago, I'm on my way, and I feel the Lord says to me, when you go to Malmesbury, you have to go for your work purpose, but also I want you to go pray for the leaders. So I'm thinking, yes, Duval and his beautiful wife, I need to go pray for the leaders. I'm like, yes, that's I'm hearing right, because that's my heart, to encourage people. And the timing worked out that I never could get to Duval and them. I only got to them. And we were chatting that evening, like 10 o'clock later that night, saying, okay, last testimony, last one. Then we have to go. Yes, because we have to go to bed. Still a working day tomorrow. And on my way, you know, leaving them, I realized, driving home from Malmesbury to Paul, I felt like, Lord, it felt like I was just spending time in your presence now. This is so strange. I was with these people, but it felt like the most awesome session of convergence, like when the Lord's presence is so very thick and strong. It felt like that. And I was so blessed by their hearts for the Lord, and I just realized that this was God. And I went home, and the Holy Spirit said, I wanted you to pray for them. And I'm, oh, sorry, Lord, I repented. So I prayed for them, and I spoke my message of prayer that I was praying over them over the WhatsApp, and I sent it to them, and only later realizing, but they were actually at that stage, part of leadership at Malmesbury, really serving there, leading the sheeps, as we are all leaders. So, you know, I really want to honor you guys and say, my heart is thankful that the Lord has placed you guys here to shepherd and to equip and to teach and to impart. You know, that's really awesome. He is awesome. And you guys are super privileged to have these beautiful people. And they speak very fondly of you guys. They really love you. And I'm just quickly going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are in this place and that your desire to connect with us and to breathe life over us, God, is so much more than our desire is here to connect with you now. We want to thank you for that. We honor you and we say, Spirit of God, this is all yours. Elke hoekie, elke deel van die plek. It's all yours, Holy Spirit. You know, come and minister to us. Our hearts are hungry, and I give myself to you and I say, thank you, Father, that I'm nothing but a vessel and your child, God, but I'm a vessel, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's start by thanking the Lord. We're going to thank the Lord now for his presence, because the praise and worship was too short, because God is still glorious. Now we're going to thank the Lord. I'm saying that like in a funny way, but it's not a joke. The Lord, the praise and worship will always be too short. So you guys, I want you to close your eyes. We're going to, in a singing voice, just thank the Lord for our salvation. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to say thank you, because we want our hearts and our spirits to open up. And I really have a sense in my heart that God wants to breathe living water. He wants to encourage. God only motivates by love and with inspiration that comes from connecting with him. He doesn't stand with a stick beating against a drum saying, come on, quicker, faster. He motivates by love, and how we open up our hearts to receive that motivation in his love is one of the keys, is to say thank you and be thankful. So let's close our eyes. I'm going to start singing, And then you can just join in and start singing your own tune, any tune you can follow me. I don't know what's going to come out, but the Holy Spirit does know. So let's close our eyes and we're going to start singing thank you to the Lord on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. You are good, you are good, you are good. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, you are good. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. You are good, you are good, you are good. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. You are good, you are good, you are good. Thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. You are good, you are good, you are good. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. You are good, you are good, you are good. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. You are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. You are good, you are good, you are good. One more time. You are good, you are good, you are good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you saved us. And give you your presence in this place. And our hearts and our spirits are open to receive from you now in Jesus' name. And all God's beautiful people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. A little bit about myself. I grew up Plas Macy, funny Plas. Want to become a singer and actress, study drama, study musical theater, Pretoria Technical, and then Stellenbosch. Then I did a year internship at Shofar because I wanted to become an efficient singer and an actress. And then, yeah, I did a bit of that and worked at Shofar Cape Town under our friend, Pastor Tiens. That was funny earlier, just seeing Tiens's face. Yeah, I worked at Shofar Cape Town. Then I started a business where I did flowers and decors for weddings and functions. And then I started working a year and a half ago at Shofar Stellenbosch with the student ministry helping Pastor C.S. LaRue, which is a great privilege for me. Yeah, so that's me, a bit more about myself. And then I got saved the first time. I said, Jesus, I don't want to believe in you. I need you to be my savior and the king of my life. I was 14 years old at a school outreach. When I was 16, I got filled with God's Holy Spirit spontaneously. I didn't know it then because I was not at that age able to be discipled. But I became really bold for the Lord at high school. And then when I moved to Stellenbosch, I was really excited because the first time I had this opportunity after, you know, 4 or 5 years being very hungry for the Lord to be discipled. Because who of you know that you can be saved and be, you know, have a heart after God, and then there's a place where you can be discipled by His Word and plugged into fellowship with believers that are encouraging you, that are loving you, that they're part of God's platform to come and heal. So then 11 years ago, I was privileged enough that I moved to Stellenbosch and I could choose to join a church where I could be discipled, and I joined Shofar Church there. And then, so saved, spirit-filled, and then I started being discipled and plugged into a family where the Lord started to bring healing and teaching and correcting my fuzzy doctrines. Because who of you know, just because you're bold and out there doesn't mean your doctrine is sound. No, only the Word of God brings sound doctrine, is the sound doctrine. This week I had the privilege of serving at Shofar in Potchefstroom. You guys, super exciting. They started with their services in April this year. And on Sunday evening, there are 55 people there on the campus, just excited. They don't have pastors yet. They all just serve, and they're going for gold. And Shofar Joburg sends down people to come and preach. And I had the privilege of just working with some of them, doing follow-ups. And I had quite a few young girls, very opinionated, very bold, the heart is for Jesus, and fuzzy thinking, things that are not biblical. And I look at them, and I'm like, oh, Mariet, here am I. So it was so lovely to have grace on them, thinking they're going to be okay. We must just love them and keep on speaking the truth. And that's why even with us, no matter where you see your friend, your family, people are, or where they are not, and you realize the Holy Spirit shows, this is where they are, this is where they need to go, it's still okay because God is God. We just love and we obey God and we speak and correct in love and we encourage, but God leads us and shows us how to do that. So the sermon for today, the word is called As Easy As ABC 123. Do anybody of you know a song like that? Yes, As Easy As ABC 123. So there is, my sermon consists of a B, and a C, and I'm going to chat to you more about the different, under the different headings. And I'm going to start with option A, is also ABC. I'm very systematic. I'm very analytical. I like big picture. Talk to me in grids from 1 to 10, and then you go down and you fill in detail. I don't understand. You're going to think I'm very dumb if you explain anything to me, just in lots of detail, and you gooi om net there, and I don't know where it fits into the big picture. So I'm going to do big picture, and then we color in the smaller details. Okay, option A, point A. This week, I had the privilege of 100 times telling to young students that in life, there's A and there's B. And how do I know there's A and there's B? Because Scripture says in Luke 11, verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, whoever is not with me is against me. Say hello. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. You need to tell that to each other. Because the world says, listen, there's for God, there's against God, and then, but don't worry, there's option C. Yay, chilla biki. We're going to make that decision later. For other people, he doesn't say chilla biki. He says, option C is, no, I'm not for or against God. I'm an atheist. I just believe in free love and in finding, you know, the light and the healing inside of yourself. That's option C. And the devil loves it. Because what is option C? Reverts right back to option B, because God says, you can be for me, you can be against me. Now the world and the enemy knows, if he can get people to not be for God, what are they? They're against him. And then he gets more people in hell and less people go to heaven. So it's a basic truth, but I'm just explaining it in this way because often we know the truth and somebody comes to us and they speak to us like interesting things and we're not exactly sure how can we explain them according to Scripture to them. So here we've got Luke 11, 23, for me, against me, and which means that option C goes right back to option B. Then we've got, inside of this option A, we've got the concept of the question. I've got a question for you. Is there a difference between believing in Jesus and knowing him as Savior? Is there a difference between believing in Jesus and knowing him as Savior? In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy to your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then he'll say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So there's a place where we can know God, and there's a place where we cannot know him. There's a place where we can operate in the godly principles, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who of you desire to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We'll pray for the rest of you afterwards and explain to you Corinthians 12. No, there's a place where we can literally understand, okay, but I can pray for the sick and they will be healed like this, and I'm not going to heaven. Because God's principles and his authority stands when we believe in the name of Jesus and we command. There's a place where in the natural things have to submit. But then there's also a place where the Lord says it's not even about that. Yes, that is an outflow from having a heart for me. Then you have a heart for people. You want them to be healed. You want them to be delivered from the things that come to steal. But God says even if you work in that and you operate in that, that's good. But you need to know me as Savior. And that's why the enemy comes and he knows this. He knows how powerful it is to believe in Jesus, but not know him as Savior. And that's why it comes to a lot of us, you know, growing up, and a lot of the friends and the people at the workplace, they are believers of Jesus, but they don't know him, they're not going to heaven. And how can I say this? Because Matthew said it. It's in the Word of God that there's a place of knowing Him and then there's a place of just believing in Him. And one of my favorite scriptures is the scripture that says, even the demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. Okay, so demons believe in Jesus, but they're not going to heaven. Because we need Him as a Savior. There's a place where He wants to get to know us. And there's a place where people around you in your workplace, in your family, they don't know Jesus, but they do believe in Him. That's great. How awesome is it that they already believe a part of the truth? And how awesome is it that you know Jesus? And I can only introduce Edna and the Thief to friends over here if, number one, I remember their names. You know that awkward situation when you're under pressure and you're like, stel jy jouself voor, ek net op my phone line. Okay, so next time I do that, don't get my telephone. So I can only introduce them to you if I know them. But that's all. That's all that's needed. If somebody walks in and I want to introduce them, if I want to introduce Marlies, this beautiful friend of mine in the red, to someone else, I just need to know and I can introduce her. And you guys, it's the same with you, it's the same with me, in our family, in our workplace. God has such a desire for all man to be saved. That's what His Word says. His desire for all men to be saved. He said, I never made hell for humans, for people. It was made for demons, for Satan and his followers, the Word says. So God has a desire for all men to be saved. And if all men can be saved, if you get saved because you get to know Jesus as your Savior, that means that you and me, knowing Jesus, we can introduce others to Him. We can introduce our family, our friends, the people around us to Jesus. Why? Because we know Him. Not because we're clever or somebody motivated us or said, you better evangelize like 10 people at the work, otherwise you're not a good Pentecostal evangelist. No, because there's a heaven and a hell. And we're so thankful that God saved us. And we're so excited about the fact that He said He wants to use us to introduce Him to other people. Now, there's another lie that I love exposing. I love exposing lies of the enemy. Oh, I enjoy it. How many of you have ever thought to yourself, or you know friends that believe God uses intelligent, slim, like God uses very intelligent or good Christians? Because that's a lie of the enemy. That says God uses intelligent, very intelligent, knows the Word inside out, kan het voor en toe achter toe opsê. Very intelligent and good Christian. Ooh, groot Christian, like a very good Christian. That's a lie of the enemy. God says He uses the willing. God says He uses the willing. There's only two categories that we can be in. And it's not slim and dom Christian. It's not big and small. It's I'm willing or I'm unwilling, because God's desire for those people in your family who you're trusting for salvation, God's desire for those people that are in your workplace, His desire for them to know Him. You know how big it is that He sent His Son to die on a cross naked. We draw that little piece of material around Him. He took all shame, all pain, every bit of unbelief, all of it. He paid that perfect price. And now God says, my desire is for all men to be saved, all men in your area, in the checkers that you go to buy to, in the place that you work, in your family, down the street, the person that you meet quickly at Pick and Pay and you'll never see again, the woman you see every day at your workplace. God says, my desire is for all of them to come to know Me, to receive My life, and my desire so to work through you. So all I'm wanting of you is to be willing to say, yes, Lord, here am I, use me. And that's so contradictory to the world where the world is really important that you look a certain way and speak a certain way. You've got certain qualifications, and I'm not against qualifications. Actually, the Word of God says, be ready in and out of season to give account. Why do you believe in Jesus? So there's a place we must go and study. The Word of God, we must study. Like, how do we get to know God better? I'm totally for that. But there's a lie that says God uses clever, intelligent, and big, groot, sterk Christians. And I want to say today to you, God wants to ask you today, I'm wanting to use you the same way I'm using Sias, the same way I'm using Edna and the Thief, the same way I'm using Mariette. I'm wanting to use you so that people can come to know Me, so people can receive encouragement and healing. Are you willing? That's God's question to me and you today. And that's so super exciting, because you can leave all the thoughts and lies and stuff behind and today literally answer Him and say yes or no. Then, so that's the first point. point B is easy as ABC because we're talking about the ABCs this morning, just about serving God and what's the truth of the word, just in the big picture for me, this is what comes to mind for me when I have an opportunity to speak of the ABC of Jesus Christ. So number one is just this whole lie of option ABC, and it's like, no, there's A and there's B. You're either for me or against me. And it's good that you believe, but you need to know Jesus as a savior. And then, I'm so sorry that I'm like, fatality on my fringe. Each time I do that, I can hear my mom going, can you move it, can I? But I'm just growing it out. So you must have, I apologize for being annoying and distracting you with my fringe. And then, okay, B. Who of you can tell me what is full-time ministry? Who of you have heard of the term full-time ministry? Those who haven't, full-time ministry is a term where people refer to working for God in the church, then you are ministering full-time. Ooh, lekker, nog een leen wat ons nou gaan expose. Another lie that we are going to expose. I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite lies to expose. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is one of our favorite lies. You need to poke them as well, because it's hot here. We need to keep each other away. This is one of her favorite lies she enjoys to expose. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm going to be very kind. I'm going to give you the answer first off. Is that okay? Okay. The answer is you need to stick up your hand. So quickly, let's just practice the answer. Well, I see those hands. Thank you. The back. Appreciate you serving there at the back. Thank you, awesome people. Okay, who of you here, okay, remember I've given you the answer just now, very recently, it was the hand one. Who of you here are in full-time ministry? Who of you are in full-time ministry? Yes, that's us. Okay, why do I say this? Okay, where there's a scripture, I already said it, but I'm going to say it again. Whoever is not for me is against me. If you do not gather with me, you scatter. So as soon as we say yes to Jesus as a Savior, we are saying yes to full-time following him. Full-time following Jesus. What's the outflow of that? I'll tell you, because scripture says it to us beautifully. Jesus says, follow me, and he doesn't say, follow me and I will make you a professional follower. Yes, you're going to worship like it. Yes, you're going to know like good answers. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So that's why as soon as we stick up our hand saying yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to full-time following him. What does that mean? We're saying yes to full-time following Jesus, and that means full-time making fishers of? Yes. Where are these men and women that God wants us to make fishers of? Are they in church? Some of them. Some of them come here and they're like, yo, I'm hungry for God. I'm wondering if someone's going to notice me, come and chat to me, come and connect with me, or they're just going to walk into church and chat to their friends. Because God sends people to us also. And he's saying, where are our hearts? Are we hungry to invite that sheep to become part of the flock? Or are we lacquer because we accept and we've got sheepies that we're friends with? Okay, so follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So full-time ministry, the lie has been exposed. I think the real name for full-time ministry, what we refer to is the admin side. So there's an admin side, there's an office where we send emails, we make phone calls, we get to leaders, so we make sure that people are, you know, the sheep are being discipled and people are encouraging the people who are discipling them, so we're organizing that. Do you guys send a few emails, make a few phone calls during the day? Yes, you do. How many of you know that when you organize an event or at school or party, your little girl's got a party, there's a wedding, anything like that. There's a lot of admin, and then on the day, there's that event. But you guys, us working at the church, we sort of part of the admin team that's saying, let's get the system together so we can know that we're not letting anybody fall through the cracks. Let's organize how we're going to encourage and disciple and equip one another. But then there's a place where you guys are in the field. You're the field workers. Because not me, nor CS, nor Fred May, nor evangelist Angus Bachan, we can't get to your family. We can't get to your workplace. But God has placed you there as an angel, agent of light. You are the ambassador of Christ in your workplace, in your family, in your community. The check is where you go. Next time you pay, you stop and you look, what is her name? If she doesn't have a name, just ask, sorry, what is your name? And you can start greeting her because you can just start being interested because that's love. That's love, is to be interested in people. So all of us are on full-time ministry. Everywhere we stay, everywhere we go, that's what the word says. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's in Matthew 4, verse 19. Just a last point before I go to the third point. We still, you know, point B of the ABC for me is, what is full-time ministry and who is in full-time ministry? We just established everybody that says yes to Jesus as Savior says yes to full-time ministry, because he says, follows me and I will make you fishers of men. Where are these men and women? All around us. Okay, good. Then how do we reach these men and women that are all around us? If you didn't get my introvert personality. God's grace enables us. God's grace. And God is so good that Jesus, when he had that Last Supper, he was saying to them, I need to go now. And they said, no, please, Jesus, don't go, because they've been hearing from the scriptures that this king is going to come, and the Jews were terribly persecuted, and then this king is going to come and save and turn everything around. And when he said, I must go, the first thing they said was like, please, Jesus, don't go, because you're the king, you've come to save us. And then Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I need to go, because what you need needs to come. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he called him the Helper. He said, I need to go so that the Helper can come in my place, so that you can be in full-time ministry at your workplace, in your family, and in Checkers. It's called the Holy Spirit that is there to help us. Acts 1:8 says that when we receive God's Spirit, we receive dynamite power to be his witnesses in the Checkers, in the workplace. I'm intentionally not saying ends of the earth, even though that scripture says it, because we need to understand that there's a place where God so longs and desires to use us, whether we feel great and clever and equipped or not. God says, I don't care about what the lifeboat looks like, that the life jacket. There are people drowning, and all I'm asking is, who will throw the life jackets to them? I don't care what the person looks like that needs to run and get the life jacket. I don't care if you hop on one leg. I don't care if you leopard crawl. But there are people in a sea around us, and they are drowning. And we've got life jackets, and we've got access to eternal life jackets, like millions and billions, literally. And God says, I really don't care about what you look like or what you feel. There's someone drowning, and I've given you like the key and the access to the eternal life jackets that you can throw to them. Now the enemy comes and he's like, oh shucks, these are already believers. They're already children of God. They've got their own life jackets. Flip. Wait, okay, so they've got life jackets, but now what can I do? I can make them stop handing it out. I'm going to tell them, no, look at the way you hand it out. You look stupid. Oh, look, that person said no, thank you. Huh, and yes, he's so old. Look, they said no, thank you. Huh, how horrible is that? They said no, thank you. That person swore at you when you said to them, can you offer to them Jesus Christ? You mustn't do that again, because you're already this and that and this and that, because he's called the accuser of the brethren, scripture says. So now there's a place where he comes to speak in us, in our tone of voice. He doesn't come and say, Edna, money me don't brought with Jesus, nee. I wish the enemy spoke like that. I'm not even joking. How lacquered and easy would it be, like, excuse me, shush, no, shush, leave voice, leave in the name of Jesus. But now he comes and he uses your tone of voice going, no, don't invite her. You don't want to offend her. You want her to like you. No, don't invite that one to encounter one where they can be saved and spirit-filled and equipped to lead their whole family and the whole workplace to Jesus. No, because... Look at what you're wearing, and look at what they wear, how they dress. Look at their cars. No. You want them to think the nice things about you. Don't invite them to think something that might be offensive. That's the enemy's thought. That is not yours. It's just not one or two, but there's like a million different ways that he comes to speak to us. But the good news is Jesus went up so that we could receive the Helper. So today we can say, God, I'm tired of listening to the lies of the enemy, and for that reason, not handing out people that are around me that are drowning, not handing out lifeboats, the life jackets to them. I'm done with that. Helper, come and show me. When is the thought of you? When is it of myself? I'm just thinking I'm thirsty because I am. And when am I thinking, no, like, just skip church. You don't have to go. You are loved already. Remember, you can't do stuff to make God love you. He'll even play that song to you that we worshiped this morning. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. the enemy also uses scripture. He used scripture to tempt Jesus, so he can use that to speak to us and get us away from that place where we can receive fresh water every week and be equipped to hand out that water. So now the Holy Spirit comes, and when we commit our thoughts to him and we say, "Here I am, come and teach me. How do I discern what is your voice, what is the enemy's voice, and what is my thoughts?" So that's how we can do full-time ministry, because of the grace of God, because of the dynamite power that we receive when we receive the help of the Holy Spirit. It says in our English translations, you receive power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, in Acts 1 verse 8. But the original, it says dynamus power, and that's where the word dynamite comes from. Now, how many of you know that this is quite a big haul? Would you agree this is quite a big haul? If you put a packet of dynamite this big here, and you let it explode here in the middle of the hall, was gaan skade maak. We're going to be, you know, be in trouble. Even though it was little, the effect is still great because it's powerful. And that's what God says. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you've done. If you've handed out 4 million life jackets like the evangelist or like Mariette or Edna and Retief, and if you've never touched another life jacket than your own one, I don't care. There are people drowning around you, and I've paid the price, and I've equipped you with the Spirit of God, and you know Jesus, so you can introduce me already. So how glorious is that? Does that excite anybody here, that we are all allowed to introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ and get to heaven one day, meeting people that we never knew because their grandfather was led to Jesus because we introduced them to Jesus? Because remember, every one person that we encourage, every one person that we testify to, every one person that we say, come follow Jesus, come with me and follow Jesus because I follow Jesus. You don't know if that's the headmaster of a school in 5 years, it's going to lead 5,000 kids to Jesus every 5 years. We don't know, but we do know it's a crazy adventure. How do I know it's a crazy adventure to follow God flat out? Not to follow God, like the believe in Jesus part, to follow him flat out, to say, God, whatever you say, I'll do it. We know it's an adventure because on Saturday past, a week ago, I was flying from Cape Town to Joburg on the way to the Potchefstroom show for helping out there, and I see there's a quite famous singer on the plane with us. His name is Snotkop. Sias was like, it's a Mara now from Gagest. He's like, who is that? Snotkop is a singer in here in South Africa, like the young people now know who they are and know who he is. And I start praying and I say, Lord, will you please give me a word for him? Your heart is for him. And I know from the music videos, like, I know that he doesn't receive love and fresh living water from you, Jesus. So please will you give me a word for him? And I'm praying. I hear nothing. And I'm like, Komiere, I've got the helper. I know your heart's desire is to connect to him. You challenge yourself, people. And sometimes it's not like you're not challenging the Holy Spirit, I promise you. You're challenging yourself when you go, come on, you can hear. Come on, Lord, give me that word for this person. Give me a word of encouragement, a prophetic word, whichever it is. Corinthians 12, we were speaking about. You can go read up about that tonight. So I'm like, Lord, give me a word. Nothing. Okay, so I fall asleep on the plane because it's 2 hours flight. And at a stage, I wake up and I hear my own song, a song that I wrote 8 years ago for a show that I held. And I hear the song playing out loud in my head. I like hear it clearly, like the whole song. And I'm like, Lord, why are you waking me up with my own song? I've experienced a few times that the Lord wakes me up with a very specific worship or praise song, something that I maybe haven't heard for years. And then I'll listen to the words and I'll realize, oh, this is what the helper, this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me now. Or I'll say, you know, these words are for that person later that day, whatever it is. So now I'm like, what moet ek met my liedjie doen? What must I do with this, Lord? And the next moment the Holy Spirit says, I need you to sing it to him. So I say, no. You're going to give me a word. So it's a psalm of a picture of a word of knowledge. I'm shakara baba basi, baba mashenza. Now I'm praying in tongues in the airplane because the Lord's going to give me a word because this is a man of influence. Number one, Jesus loves him. He died on the cross for him as much as for me. I don't care what his music videos look like. I don't care what he makes girls do half naked on his music videos. I don't care about the disrespect that he has for those women because of his brokenness. Jesus is hot for him. And number two, he's a man of influence. So boom, tomorrow here on MK or whatever channel, kyk net, huisgenoot skouspeld, we've got people saying yes to Jesus. Because of all of us that follow Jesus on full time, you pass, that's good. So now the Holy Spirit says, so I keep on praying, I'm asking him, you must give me a word for them. And after a while, the Holy Spirit says, I'm not going to give you a word because I've already spoken to you. You've got a choice now. You can obey me or you can disobey me. It's the same with the Bible. All of it, always when God speaks to us, we've always got a choice. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force anybody to choose Jesus. He doesn't force anybody to choose and say yes for healing. God healed me a few times in my life. I was for 4 years on antidepressants, and the Lord healed me of that. Just before I went off of it, I wasn't weaning off of it. I was on 3 times the dosage of when I started when I was 21. When I started when I was 16, I was on one pill, one medication, Uzac. And by the time I was 21, I was on 3 because the dips and up and down and then going back to the psychiatrist. And Jesus healed me, you guys. And yeah, so many things that the Lord wants to heal us of. So if you, like, there's anything specific you need healing for today, we're going to pray for you. Whoa! Because the day just before the Snortcorp episode, I like bump into this girl, and I met her once before, and she grabs my arm and goes, do you have a headache tablet for me? And I'm like, no, can I quickly pray for you? And she goes, yes, someone do it, yeah. And she puts her hand on my head, and I'm like, oh. And I start praying for her, and she gets a shock, and I realize she thought I was joking. So I take her around. She's at work, she's doing like an ad. They're doing a shoot for, I think it's for Woolworths, it's that same model at Valdevie, that polo state. So I take her aside and I put my hand here on her head, because yes, I'm at Valdevie polo state, but the whole time we're for her against Jesus. The whole time. We're for her against him, the whole time we're following the helper, saying yes to it or saying no, and I say in the name of Jesus, I must go, and I start thanking the Lord for healing. And then she's shocked and she's like, this healed all back, and she looks even at her hand because she was shaking, it was so bad, and she's healed. So that's why I know it's an adventure. So then, and God heals. Okay, next day is Saturday, and I'm on the plane, and after a while I say, okay, I realize that was you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to do it, but please, Father, when we go off at Lanceria, will give me an opportunity just to speak to him, because there's lots of people. What if he gets his suitcase and runs off? Then I'm going to be like, why didn't I obey God? Oh, so much salvation. Okay, so I pray and we leave. Get off the plane and convey about the suitcases are going around. And here he stands on his own. The friend he was traveling with, work co-worker, is away. There's no one next to him. It's Lanceria. It's quite quiet. And the pastor I'm traveling with, Anton, I'm like, I'm coming now. And I go to him and I'm like, hello. Mine, like the same I do whenever the Lord says to me, go to and chat to someone. I do it like I would with you. Very normal. I say, hello, my name is Mariette Loubser. Okay, that's just a tip. Like when you know, you're like nervous. I must approach this person. God has told me to speak to them. Where do I start? Oh, I can say my name. So I'm like, hello, my name is Mariette. Sorry, but can I quickly sing a song to you? And he says... And he's very friendly, because remember, I'm not a public. So I realized, Lord, famous people are soft targets for evangelism. They have to be like super friendly to the public. So yes, yellow for now, I'm going to, I don't know, hang out at the Sunday Camp Spain place where the famous people go and lead them all to Jesus. Okay, so, and he's like, yes, you can. Is it something you wrote yourself? You know, like very polite. And I'm like, yes, okay, but I'm going to start singing it to you now. And I start singing it to him. Okay, and I'll sing it to you. It goes like this. And I'm going to do it in the way I did it for him. Né? So, like, you can relive this. So now you must say, Snotkop is here. Mariette is here. Conveyor belt is... Yeah, in Lanceria. I'm singing softly because... Yeah, because I was silly. Ik moest hard gesing het. We're going to have an open air service. So I'm like, okay. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous. My awesome is so flat. Okay. All of my life, I've been living in one place, which I called home. Pum, 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 pum. I'm like making the clavier. Pum, 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 pum. For 22 years, that's where I learned to laugh, dance, cry, and pray. Pum, 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 pum. But then we moved to another house. It's right next door to where the old one is. But nobody asked me my opinion, my thoughts, or my feelings on this. That hurt, but now I ask myself, what was I thinking? Because long before moving, I was told that I am not from here. I am just visiting. I am just passing through. That I am not from here. I am just visiting. I am just passing through. Because my home is where my history, my roots, and my heart lies. And that's with my Father in his kingdom that is coming. That is coming. I'm going home. And I'm like ending it off, home, home, home. And he's like, yeah, it's an interesting voice. it's very sincere. I could see was it do you sing at the church? And I'm like, da da da. I'm like, yes, yes, but what I just want to tell you, and I grab his arm and I'm like, I'm a very touchy feeling person. I'm like, Jesus died for you on the cross. And I don't know what's going on in your heart and your life, but I want to tell you today that Jesus still speaks, and each one that follows him can hear his voice. He says that my sheep know my voice. I want to encourage you. It's not reserved for dominies to hear the Lord's voice. I want to encourage you. Speak to God. If you earnestly desire to hear his voice, you will. And I'm going to pray for you that you do hear his voice, and God bless you. Bye. And he's like, bye. And so, like, for me, I love obeying the Lord, and I love new people, so that's fine. But my body, like, is still submitting under that, because 10 minutes later, we're booking out the Avis Con. I'm like standing like this. I'm like, Anton, I get for snot kopers at Lanceria. That's so funny. Okay, so guys, I want to say to you, everywhere we go and every day we go there, there's people around us who Jesus loves, and you know where to get the lifeboat, and God knows how to connect with those people, and he'll lead you. God didn't want to connect with him with a word or scripture. God wanted that at that stage. And I want to encourage you, each one of you hear his voice, and each one of you have received boldness because you've received the Holy Spirit. And you, if you haven't, please come to the front. We love to pray with you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then just my final point, which I want to end off with. So we were speaking about the option ABC and that line that we must realize it's either A or B. And then the second point was exactly the same as the first point, because it said you're either full on following Jesus, making fishes of men, or you're not. Because he says, if you follow me, you will be making fishes of men. And it's fine, you guys. God uses different people in different ways. I suck at technology. If I had to serve the church through doing what those awesome people do, we'd be like, ee-hoo! Like with the sound. Okay. So I want to encourage you and say, you listen to God and you ask God, God, how do you want me to build your house? How do you want me to reach out? Like, I can't run further than, I've never ran further than 5 kilometers, like an Ian, really. I'm not proud of it, but it's true. So I can't start a running club, but there's some of you, you like run in your sleep, and you can ask the Holy Spirit, who are those guys, who are those men, who are those people at the work who I can just invite and start building a relationship with? God knows how he's knit you together, so he knows how and which way you're going to take the lifeboat, the life jacket, and throw it out. So you don't have to compare yourself to me, to anybody. You compare yourself to Scripture, to God's Word, and you say, God, where do I fit in? What are you calling me? In which way do you want to use me? Okay, the bride, the body of Christ. I'm just going to end off with just mentioning one or two things about that. Okay, Psalm, that's so funny. They laugh at me, the students, when I say that. Because in Afrikaans it's Psalm, but in English it's Psalm 92. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. You guys, there's a place where we are planted. When we are planted, not visiting, not checking out this ground. Oh, wait, now I'm checking out that ground. It's fine. Do check out ground. Do check out churches. But then there's a place where we say, God, where do you want me to be planted? Where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to build up the brothers and sisters there? And where's the place that you want those brothers and sisters to build me up? There's a place where that's powerful. And it's important that we know that, because some of us, maybe all of us know it here, but it's important that we understand that the people in our lives, at the work, at the checkers, at the place, there's a place where we can encourage them, not condemn them and go, oh my word, I can't believe you church up your whole life. Oh my word, why aren't you in a church? No, because then you're sinning. But it says here we can encourage them and say, hey friend, listen, God's word says those who are planted in the house of God, they will flourish. They're going to bear fruit forever. Like, do you want to come visit and check out my church and ask God, is that where you want to be planted? Ever heard of springboks come running by? These are grass plains. Springboks come running by, okay, and they chill out and they, you know, have a lunch. And then the one younger springbok takes a little nap under the bushy, and he wakes up and the whole herd is gone. And he's like, oh, oh dear, oh dear. And okay, so he waits and he's like, I'm not sure what, I don't even know which direction, because it's just savanna like all over. And then he sees, like, the whole where he's like, on the horizon, there's a little spot, and he's like, oh, it's another herd. Oh, I'm fine. I'm sorted. It must be the cousins from the grass field, like, next door. They're on their way. But now this little springbok, he grew up like running. Because who of you know that antelope and herd and bookies, they were made to run and to jump and to pronk, they love that. Okay, so that's what he understands. So now he's thinking, I know, like, they're that far, by tonight they'll be here. So the evening comes and Bookie's on his own. Creak, 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 creak. He goes back to his bushy. He takes another sleep. He goes to bed that night. The next morning he's like, the herd is closer, but they're not here yet. This is just strange. Bookies don't operate like this. It's very slow. You guys, 2 days later, beautifully, ingelit, the Springbok herd comes walking. All 100, they walk. And he's like, hey, how are you? Why are you walking? Are you tired? Are you resting? What's going on? And before he knows it, he's in the middle of this big herd, and he's like, okay, but when are we going to start running? And they're like, no, we don't run. We don't believe in running. This is how we do it. He's like, no, you're missing out. You were made to run. Like, hear me, you were put together your limbs to run. And they're like, no, what are you talking about? We are critical mass. There are a lot of us that believe we walk. This is how we do it. How long is that bookie going to try with 100, no one else, 100 bookies around him, try and convince them and encourage them, come on, you guys, let's run for a short while. And then later, what's he going to do? He's going to start walking because that's the community where he's slotted in. And then there's the same place. Now there's a bookie. The same scenario. First scenario, takes a lunch, marag slapi, onna die bossie, wakes up, family's gone. Later that day, he says, on the horizon, here they come, here they come. Ach, yes, it's like 2-3 hours later, here they are, they're with him. And it's this herd of springboks, and they're just going for God. They're just running. They're going flat out because that's what they know. That's how they do it. They've got stronger ones looking after the younger ones, encouraging. There they go. But now he's hurt his foot. He's hurt his little hoof, and he's like a little bit limpy, and he's like, oh, I didn't eat like the whole day because my mom wasn't here to show me watter gras polletjie moet ek eet. What's going to happen to that little bit tired, little bit discouraged bookie when he finds himself in the middle of a herd of 100 that are going flat out? Even though he's a little tired, even though he's a little bit distraught, like what's going on, he's going to start running. Why? Because that's the community where he slotted into. There's going to be older bookies looking to the young ones, say, hey, check this one out. You need to give him water. Hey, not that much at a time. He's not used to that. So guys, it's so powerful. There's a place where, as I said earlier, all of us have the freedom of choice. God gives us a freedom of choice. So it's really important that we understand that there's a place where we need to slot into godly community. Not only visit, but slot in, become part of that herd, saying, where do I help? And where do I receive encouragement and nourishment? And maybe you say, but Mariette, I'm sitting here in church, why are you telling me this? Because then there's also a place, even though we slotted in, I want to ask you, I mentioned it briefly earlier, where are your eyes? Is it only on yourself and the herd because you slotted in? Or is it on the bookies that missed their marag slapi and they missed out on the family leaving? Do we see the people that God are sending that are in our peripheral vision so desiring that someone will invite them to their home for lunch, to become a friend, to God's house? Oh, we just focus because we're running and we're enjoying it and people are getting saved and healed at church and that's so cool and I've started praying in tongues because I received the Holy Spirit. Or, I'm so excited, I was new and I had no friends and God has added these incredible people that love me just the way I am. Freak, I didn't grow up like that. It's so awesome. Or you're like, oh, Lord, you're doing all this. Who can I invite in? Because as I said earlier, the word says, if you follow God, you're going to look out for those bookies that are outside the herd saying, but this one like singing, I'm so going to introduce this girl to Demi. I'm going to hook them up and say, hey, don't you guys want to go for coffee? Oh, wait, this one has a heart for finances. This is a businessman. He's excited for the Lord. He's excited for business. Who are the businessmen here? Yes, I'm going to organize them for a coffee. I'm just going to both invite them to my house at the same time. You guys, God is sending people directly to us and close by. And there's a place where he says, it's good that you are planted, but if you are planted, your desire will be for that which I desire. And that's for all man to be saved, all man to be planted and receiving God's love. And then the very last thing is just leadership. I need to say this is very important. You might sit there thinking, yes, Mariette, but you don't understand. It's good that you say we must be planted and, you know, serve and honor one another no matter, you know, what, you know, even if we are perfect or imperfect, but you don't know how I've been offended or hurt. In church, outside church, just in relationships, sometimes people have hurt, and then it's difficult for them to come to a place where they say yes to a relationship again. Now, this is so awesome. Let's say there is a guy here. This is a hospital, and here's a bed, and the guy needs to have open heart surgery. It's quite hectic. And there's a doctor, and he's like super good. He's been doing this for 34 years, very qualified, number one in his position in South Africa, and he's about to do the surgery. And the nurse comes and she says, "Oh dear doctor, all I have today is this, but here you go, here are your instruments." And the one little knife is rusted. It's rusted. It came with Jan van Riebeek in 1652. The other knife, the other utensil, it's broken, like the head is off. And then there's this other little place, the naaldenharde, the needle and thread that you have to like work it, you know. There's mold growing on it. These are his instruments. You're going to be like, there's no way, because there is no way. But imagine this. Now she gives it to the doctor. This guy's got open heart surgery. He uses this like extremely like shocking instruments that they wouldn't even use like back in the day if they never known this. They even if they didn't know it was like off. They wouldn't use it because it's shocking. And yeah, 2 weeks later, this man is just perfectly healed, walking around, doing marathons. He is like perfect. His heart's in perfect condition. He's in perfect condition. You guys, if the doctor is perfect, if the doctor is Jesus, he doesn't care whether we are rusted, whether we've got mold growing on us, whether we are broken, whether we are whole. Because the power does not lie in the instrument, but the power lies in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to set us free. He's come to give that today. He's come to give that to us, like his love, his acceptance, and our salvation. And today God asks, are you willing, even though you might be a rusted instrument, maybe you're like full of pride, so you can't even see that you're a biggie bent, then it's even still fine. Because it's not about the instruments. It's not about perfect or imperfect leaders. It's about the Lord Jesus. So yes, churches get it wrong sometimes. Yes, leadership gets it wrong. Yes, the people that we are walking in accountability are sometimes going to drop us. But then we have an opportunity. Do we look only at what they're getting wrong? Or do we choose to look past that and look at their hearts? Because C.S. Lewis, I don't know who of you are familiar with him, is an incredible man that has not only led a lot of people to Jesus, he has equipped a lot of leaders to lead others to Jesus. I work very closely to him. And who of you know that when you are married or you work very closely to someone a lot, you see their faults? So I'm going to expose him now. He has faults. He is a human. But you know what I also see under serving him? I see his heart that is so committed for people to know Jesus, and for people that know Jesus to be equipped to receive the Father's love and the Father's truth and hand it out. So for me, still, no matter in which way he will ever drop me or not drop me, I'll have honor and respect for him because I see his heart and I choose to see your Lord. Look at this man laying down his life. He doesn't play golf on a Saturday. He connects. Nothing wrong with that. He does do that sometimes. I'm just saying there's a place where he keeps on saying, I'm going to choose to serve the people around me because that is my heart's desire for them to know Jesus and to know his love. And that's a benefit of the doubt that if we in church, if we don't start giving that to one another, if we don't start serving Jesus in that place saying, God, this house is not perfect, but let's all get stuck in and let the kingdom come. Let's run in a group. No matter if you're tired or not, if we're in the group, we can do this because your grace. And you say that if you are planted in the group, you will flourish. Not because the group is perfect, not because the other instruments are miff or rusty or not, but because I'm the great physician. And there where you say yes to be an instrument for you, I will use you, each one of you sitting here, to do great and mighty exploits. So let us stand. I just want to end off with a question. When a baby takes a first step, after that baby takes the very, very first step in their life, what do they usually do after they take the first step? They fall on their bottom. What do the parents do? They freak out. Phone, pictures, Facebook, Twitter, the family WhatsApp group, they're like freaking out. They're calling Oma, Opa, like, listen, baby took the first step. Even though the baby fell after the first step, because the parents know this is where they're at. And you guys, God is the same with us. He will not expect you, if you're a baby, to run a marathon. He will not expect you, if you are a teenager, to go and plant 14 churches. If you're 16, then you still need the guidance and the encouragement and love and discipline, because you're growing and learning to grow and walking. And then, so I want to encourage you, because sometimes the enemy comes, and the whole time, especially when we give words like this, when we speak about what we were actually made to do, when we realize we were actually made to hand out life jackets, like the whole time we were made to run full out, we weren't made to walk and not talk about Jesus and not lead people to Christ and encourage them and pray for them, then the enemy wants to say, oh, but look what you didn't get right. But I want to encourage you today and say, Jesus says that he's a perfect father, and for each step that you take, no matter how small it is, if an earthly father says stop for the family and says, look at my son, look at my daughter, imagine that your Father in heaven, when you take that first step inviting someone to small group, when you take that first step saying for someone, they're like, can I pray for you? And you're like, oh Lord, I'm so scared now, but you're like, can I pray for you? Even if that person doesn't get healed for whatever reason, each time we take a step like that, our Heavenly Father says, stop, look, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. So God has made you to walk, to run for him, and he's going to lead you by his spirit, sticky for sticky for sticky. All your homework and my homework is what we do is we go to God every day and we say, Lord, what in this day is your will? Like, here I am. Sometimes it's not even like a long prayer. Sometimes I just realize, hey, wait, I want to commit myself. I'm like, Lord Jesus, use me. And even the day that I forget to pray that, he sees your heart that is so desiring. So that's why he says, when snot comes, I don't have to pray about, should I reach out to this man? When I saw him, something in my heart was just like, oh, opportunity to love this man, opportunity to speak truth. And God gave that opportunity to me. He leads us. So let's close our eyes and pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to come thank you, Father, today, just for your heart that is to teach us, God, to crawl and then to walk and then to run, Lord, and then to go flat out for you, Jesus. Thank you that you sent the helper, Father, that it's not by our might, Lord, but it's not by might, but by the Lord's Spirit, God, through us. And we want to thank you for that. And that's our design. If you are standing here today and the Lord has been speaking to your heart and you realize I've been neglecting even looking out who needs a life jacket. If you want to repent from that today and you just want to say, oh, Lord, I want to start handing out life jackets, I want you to quickly raise your hand. If you want to say, Jesus, I want to start handing life on, thank you for those hands. If you raise them, you can lower them again. Anybody here that if you hear this and you realize, I've been neglecting the life jackets, I've known how to hand it out, but I haven't been handing it out because of intimidation and fear, today Jesus wants to deliver you from that intimidation and fear. So if you want to receive that freedom to hand it out, please raise your hand. We want to pray with you. Anybody, thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else that you realize, sure, wait a minute, I already know Jesus. I can introduce him, but I don't want to be held back anymore. Fiance Boda, religion's foot, fear and anxiety's foot. Jesus paid the perfect price and I can start handing it out. Anybody that wants to say, Jesus, here I come, I commit myself to you again, and I say, Jesus, use me, come and teach me, Spirit of God, be a helper. Thank you for those hands. You can lower them again. Then also, if you've got hurt in your heart towards the body of Christ, you've been hurt, you've been offended, and there's a place, even if it's just with a friend in church, from a church way back when, then the Lord wants to set you free, because bitterness and unforgiveness, it stops us from receiving living water and it stops us from handing it out. So anybody of you that you want to receive healing and encouragement, or you just want to come to the front so that you can receive that, to pray and ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness. Can I see, by show of hands, are there anybody that wants to say to Jesus, your Lord, my heart is still sore from that place in the past where I got hurt? Anybody like that? Then you can also come to the front just now. We'd love to pray with you, because God makes whole. And God restores and God gives new living water each time we draw close to him. And then just the last group of people that I want to invite. Thank you, Spirit of God, for your presence here. We're so honored to be able to just come and give our hearts to you and chat to you, Father, and come humbly and surrender to you, Jesus. And the last group of people, if you haven't received Jesus as a Savior and you're nervous, you've got actually fear and you're not sure whether you're full on going to heaven, you full on know Jesus as a Savior, and if you believe in Jesus then I also want you to just raise your hand as a sign to God. Anybody like that that want to say, Jesus, I don't just want to believe in you. I want to follow you flat out with my whole heart, with my whole heart. Anybody like that that wants to say, Jesus, I want to come to you. I want to receive that life jacket. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, God. Thank you, Father. Demi, can you just, Father, we thank you for what you're about to do here and for the way that as we move forward, Lord, as prophetically, if we take those steps, God, that chains literally, they fall off and they break. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that, Lord. I just, want to encourage you, everybody that raised the hand, please come to the front. We just want to pray with you. There were quite a few hands. It's not embarrassing. It's an absolute honor to say to Jesus, I want to receive more of you. So if you can quickly just come to the front, everybody that raised their hands, we just want to pray with you. You can even come running because it's such an honor, just to come to Jesus and say, here I am. If I can just, if I can ask you, just stick out your hands just in front of you, just as a sign to say, here I am, I'm hungry, I'm wanting this, Jesus, just in front of you. There's not power in where our hands are or not, but there's a place where we in the natural just say, Jesus, this is me surrendering, coming to you. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to just pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you died on the cross. Not for me to just follow you, but so that I can make fishes of men. Jesus Christ, I repent for focusing on myself, for focusing on difficult situations instead of on you. Spirit of God, I repent and I come and receive your forgiveness, Jesus. I stick out my hands and I stick up my hands and I say, Jesus, use me. Jesus, use me. Jesus, use me. In the day, in the nighttime, at my work, at my place, and when I'm social. Every day, Jesus, come and use me. Spirit of God, I yield myself to you, and I thank you for words of wisdom, words of encouragement that you're going to give to me to give to people. Thank you that you're going to teach me how to make fishes of men. I receive your love. I receive the fact that you say, you celebrate me. You celebrate me. You want to use me. So that all the glory can come to the doctor, the great physician, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you don't mind what I look like as an instrument. You're just asking, are you willing? And I'm saying, Jesus, I'm willing. Thank you, Father, that you hear my prayer, and I give you praise and thanks for lives that are going to change. Because I'm going to hand out life jackets to those lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Then just one last thing. If there's anybody of you that you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you haven't received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and in Acts, Paul came to two disciples and he asked them, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And they say, no, we've not even heard of it. So there's a place where we can be a Christian and have the Holy Spirit with us. And then there's also a place where you can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So he gives us this dynamite power so that we have access to the helper. If there's anybody like that, that would be that, that want to receive the Holy Spirit, could you just raise your hand? Anybody that would like the Holy Spirit? Is anyone good? Because we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. We're going to dismiss the service now. But anybody that want to receive the Holy Spirit, or you've got any prayer needs, healing, anything, encouragement that you need, living water is here and God wants to hand it out. So please come to the front. I'm going to hand it over to.
And then there's just something that came up in my spirit is that when you say God use you, I think many times because of the past hurts and the stuff that Maria touched on, when God uses, don't confuse it, because the devil then sometimes whispers abuse. God does it with you. Frida is 4 years old. She can't write to save her life. But yet she started to help me make a fire, and she started to help me braai now and again. Why do I do that? Why do I use her in that? It's just in the fellowship, in that moment of using her. Yes, she hands me a piece of wood, and she hands me the matches. We make a fire, and she helps me do this, and she helps me do that. But in that she grows, and there's no abuse in that. There's love in that, and it's a relationship. In all use of God, it's a relationship. I cannot say it's one of the greatest things and greatest privileges to be used by God. Because when He says use, and when He does use, He says love. And He does it with you. That's why we've got the helper. So I don't know if there's anywhere that thing might have stuck, and it hurts when you hear the word use. Let's just ask God quickly in prayer. Lord, thank you that you just, we're maybe in the form of dead religion in the past, people might have been hurt by the word use. Lord, thank you, Lord, you do not misuse. You use us, Lord, as we're willing vessels, Lord, as we make the choices, Father God, in love, Lord, because you want to share that moment with us. Lord, you could have done everything by yourself, but you would like to share it with us. I can make the fire myself, I can bribe myself, but I don't want to. It's so much more special to do it with my daughter, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that this kingdom business is so much more special for you to do it with us. So use us, Lord, because we want to do it with you. In Jesus' name. Before we go, we're planted here, and as I've shared last week, I'm going on a mission for 2 weeks, as I believe God is, as said to me, and I'm just being obedient. I'm just singing to my snot cup and going on this mission. And I'm trusting God. We're going to the UK and we're going to Holland, where we're planting a church next year. For what? To mark 4 sommeriere. And so don't you guys just want to put out your hands towards me? And because I'm part of the family, you guys send me out. And quickly, just the two of you, if you could just quickly pray for me and send me out for the dynamis power.
Oh, thank you, God, as we stretch out our hands, God. We just bring our brother and our pastor here from this church before you, and we say, we send him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and do great and mighty exploits, Father. Thank you for your spirit that rests, Lord, upon the thief. In the name of Jesus, we say, stir up even more, stir up even more, stir up even more. Spirit of God, this desire that he has to see your kingdom come. Thank you that you've given him faith, God, that he's a man of faith. Thank you for the gift of faith that you've given him, Jesus. We pray that you'll increase it. We pray for an increase. Thank you, Jesus, that we can stretch out our hand. And you say in your word, lay hands on one another, stir up the gifts of God. And we say, thank you, God, that you're stirring up the gift of faith in this man, Father God. In Jesus' name, we bless him, we send him, and we say, thank you, God, that you will guide and direct his feet, his footsteps, Lord, to be led by your spirit, God. And thank you, where his feet goes, he claims the ground for you, Jesus, whether we'll see it now, a few years later, on the ages to come. Thank you, where he goes, he will be an agent of light, an ambassador for Christ, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus, that you, the word says that you intercede for us at the Father, Father God. And I pray, Jesus, that you will come and intercede for the nations through Retief. I just see Jesus interceding for the nations through you. And I thank you, Father, for that, Lord. I thank you for the eyes of Jesus. I thank you for the heart of Jesus. I thank you for the power of Jesus. I just thank you for that, Lord. And we just release you and we bless you. And Father God, I also just pray for a deep connection with you on this trip, for him and the team members, and also for Traveling Mercies, Lord, that you be with them, that you keep them safe, that you keep them safe. Thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord, and I just receive that, and we thank you for that, Lord, and as we're all in full time and go out, Lord, I pray that blessing.